Okay, thank you. Every time I come here to speak, I get nervous, I get butterflies, I get scared, and I always feel very honored and privileged to speak before you all. The message I'm going to bring you today has been a really difficult one to bring together, and but I'm hoping you saw the joy in Mike and Abe up here, right? Did you see that joy? And that peace that they had up here, sharing their wedding vows and enjoying together with God and with you all. I mean, did you see and feel that joy and that experience, huh? You all felt it, right? All right. Well, let me tell you something. There's going to be an opportunity for you today, if you haven't already, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do that, I can guarantee you, because God does not back off on His word, I can guarantee you that you will feel that joy and that peace. Amen. So with that, I'm going to get started. All right? One other thing. First time I've ever done a PowerPoint sermon. So, I'm just giving you forewarning. All right? I'm just giving you forewarning. So I suppose I should get my notes out, huh? But that was a wonderful, wonderful thing. Wonderful. I am so, so blessed that I was able to be part of it. And I don't mean just bringing Ava down, but I mean being here and being part of that. And that's how God's heaven is going to be, like that. It's just going to be a blessing. And the wedding, I know this isn't part of my sermon, but I can't help myself. The wedding banquet that we're going to have when we die and go to heaven is going to be fabulous. And I'm just excited about it. When Pastor Bob told me they were going to do that, I'm going, oh, man, how am I going to? You know, you go out, but you know what? God is an awesome God, and He makes it work. You know, so anyhow, I want to talk to you today a bit about addiction. I guess my sermon title is already up there. As some of you know and some of you don't know, I'm a recovering drunk, and I'm a recovering addict, and I'm a recovering womanizer, and I'm a recovering other things. And you know, it's interesting, and I wanted to bring this subject because most people in the inner city, how many of you know what addiction is? All right, quite a few of you, right? Quite a few of you. And I'm not asking who has been affected, who isn't an addict, but I'm curious, how many of you have been affected by an addict or a drunk? How many of you have had that happen in your life, right? So it's a serious thing. And you know, the funny thing is I didn't wake up one day and was a drunk. Didn't happen to me. This is Lindsay Lohan. Recognize her? Beautiful young girl. And I thought about, I wasn't going to talk about the pictures. I'm only going to talk a little bit because, you see, how many of these little kids do we have in our church? Right? And they're going to grow up. Oh, I paused it. All right. They're going to grow up to look beautiful, right? I mean, they're going to grow up and they're going to be, and they need you all to help them grow up so that they don't become like this. Amazing, huh? Look at this young man here. Tom Cruise. Or no, not Tom Cruise. Charlie Sheen. See, you all know, right? Look at here. And look at here. He looks like death. He looks like death. And that's what drugs and alcohol do to us. Now, this young lady, some of you may not know, but I'll just tell you, this is a childhood picture of Whitney Houston. She grew up to be one of the most beautiful women I have ever seen. I've ever since The Bodyguard, I've had a crush on her. You know? I mean, she could sing, and God gave her all those gifts. Like, she's like he's given all of our youth these gifts. She ended up like that. Worse yet, she ended up dead. She ended up dead because of addiction, because of alcohol, drugs. And this is the face of a meth user in 10 years. Look at how beautiful she is. Look at this. Do we want to end up like that? I sure don't. Well, let me read this. Addiction is one of the most costly public problems in the United States. It is a progressive syndrome, which means that it increases in severity over time unless it is treated. Substance abuse is characterized by frequent relapse or return to the abused substance. Substance abusers often make repeated attempts to quit before they are successful. Interesting, isn't it? There is over $440 billion a year in economic cost because of drug addiction. It's a big chunk of money, huh? $440 billion. These are the things that addiction affect. The addiction's health is affected, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. I remember when I was using, I didn't have a spirit. I had an evil spirit, but I didn't have a godly spirit. So it's affected. Relationships and families are affected. My family was affected, and I'm going to share a little bit about that because of alcohol and such. Not only my married family, but my childhood family was affected. Society is affected with crime and health, and the social fabric breaks down. It is an awful, awful thing. And you know what else is affected by drugs and alcohol and addiction? The church. The church is affected. This thing weaves its way through everybody. I read a stat one time where it was like 9 out of 10 people have been affected in some way or another by drugs or alcohol. It's amazing. It's amazing. But what I talk to you about is that sin is like addiction. Sin, the human addiction. Now, I have that same statement I just read about addiction. Now listen to this. Sin is one of the most costly public health problems in the United States. It is a progressive syndrome, which means that it increases in severity over time unless it is treated. Sin abuse is characterized by frequent relapse or returning to the sin substance. Sin abusers often make repeated attempts to quit before they are successful. How many of you can relate to that? Huh? Yes. How many times have you been in a sin and you realize, oh, I shouldn't be doing that, and you quit for whatever reason? Not with the power of God, like a lot of people quit using drugs, not because of the power, but because it's just sheer white knuckling. I'm just not going to do that anymore. And usually we quit at that point in time because we've been beat up so bad we can't take the beating anymore. But just like addiction, physical addiction, sin addiction has the same effects, doesn't it? Has the same effects. The sinner's health is affected. Physically, mentally, and particularly spiritually. I mean, how much better do you feel when you have the Spirit of God in you? I mean, it's wonderful. It's so much better, and I can tell you from experience, having the Spirit of God in me than the spirit of the enemy. I'm not saying I was demon-possessed. That wasn't it. Okay? But relationships and family breakdown is affected. I mean, think about that. Right? I mean, if you like Ava and Mike, they just got married in the eyes of God. And they just made a vow to run their marriage the way God wants it to be done. Not the way the world wants it to be done, where the world says, yeah, try it for a few years. If it don't work, go swap them off for different ones. That's not God's intention. It's not God's intention. That is not God's intention. His intention is for us to be with Him forever.
Yes.
That's His intention.
Yes.
And His intention for marriage is to be forever, not temporary. And you cannot do that if you do not have God. And they made a pledge today to do that with God and to follow Him. Society is affected by sin. Look at pornography. What a horrible thing. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, adultery, right? But pornography is adultery for you that peek at it. It is. It's the same thing. Jesus said, if you just lust after a woman, you have committed adultery with her. Getting ahead of myself. Sorry. The church is affected by sin. Huh? The church. When you come to church and pretend, you're not real. You're sinning. You're sinning. I want to read the verse that I'm going to use today that most of this is coming from. It's James 1, verse 13 through 15. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. God doesn't tempt us. It's like this, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to, who was that guy that looked dead? Yeah, it brings death. It brings death. Whitney Houston died. Now they say it's because she did an overdose, and she did. But would she have been doing that if she'd have been with Jesus Christ? Would she? Would you be doing some of the things that you're doing if you had Jesus Christ beside you? We need to take a look at that. But sin is costly. And sin is, right? What is sin? Right? I mean, we talk about sin all the time. Sin. Well, I want to kind of put a little clarity to what that is today. Because a lot of us, we think about sin as the Ten Commandments. We think, well, you know, have no other God before me, no idols, don't kill, don't adultery, don't envy, don't, you know, I'm not going to go through them all. And those are pretty big sins. But most of the time when we think about sin, we think about murdering someone. Or we think about adultery, right? But there are a number of other sins. There is jealousy. There is anger. There is gossip. I mean, how harmful is gossip? How harmful is gossip when someone is talking about somebody and they don't even know what the truth is? And they don't know what the truth is. But they're talking anyhow. And why do they do that? It's because it makes them feel good. Because it's a selfish thing. It's a selfish thing. Bitterness. Bitterness is a horrible, horrible sin. I'm going to talk about that a little bit when I talk about my ex-wife. Oh. Funny, huh? Yeah, I'm going to talk about it. Because you see, no, I'll wait. So, sin, what is it? What is sin? All those things, right? But really, it's disobedience. It is disobedience. If you are in sin, you are in disobedience to God. That is a big sin. And that's where all sin comes down to, is disobedience to God. And when you're disobedient of God, you can't be in line with Him. And Pastor Bob is doing this series on getting in line with God. Well, how do you get in line with God when you're disobeying Him? When your parents want you to do something over here, all you youth, and you're disobedient, how are you in line with your parents? You can't be. You cannot be in line with God if you're in sin. Now, Ava and Mike, they lived in sin for quite a while because they were living together, not married. God didn't give them rest. Didn't give them rest. Are you restful now? Right? And I don't know, I'm guessing tonight they're probably going to join together the way that God intended it to be. Amen. Not the way that society is intending it to be. Cheap. And throw away. That's not what God intended for us. He loves us. And He intended much more for us. And when we're in sin and we're disobedient to Him, He can't do that for us. He can't. And I'm going to share a little bit of that as we go along here. So, what does disobedience look like? Reverend Mark goes, what is that? What does disobedience look like? Well, here you go. There you go. Oh, yeah, God, you think I'm going to be crazy? I'm digging my heels in. I like what I'm doing, and I ain't going to give it up. Ain't going to give it up. There's me. Even as a full-grown adult, that was me. And I'll share with you how I got there. I have to take a breath. I'm sorry. Sin is disobedience. And I want to share a little bit about my addiction. I have like three parts about my testimony. And some of it, I might get a little emotional. Okay? But it's because God has touched my heart. Okay? That's what it's about. But in my addiction, when I was using alcohol and I was drinking, and I was chasing women even though I was married, and I had my kids and I ignored them. When I was in my addiction, I was in huge denial. There's no way. I mean, somebody could have come up and said, "David, you know, where'd you park your car last night?" I could have said, "Well, I'm not sure. I don't really remember." And they said, "Well, you know, you have a drinking problem." And I go, "No, I do that all the time." I mean, it is, you know, you get so caught up in your addiction that nothing else matters. Nothing else matters but that addiction. It is so important. And it's like when I look back on it, it's because it's like sin, right? You have these hurts in you. You have things that have gone on in your life a caveat here, I'm a Vietnam vet. Came back, messed up. And some of the drinking and stuff was to cover the pain. Some of the drinking and the drugs were to just escape reality. Some of it was because I couldn't handle my family, my responsibilities, the things I had to do. I couldn't handle it. And so I drank because I didn't want to face it. And I came into sin. And I was always blaming somebody else. Since I got out of the military, I just tell you all right now, I have had 29 different jobs since 1969. 29 different jobs. And you know what? I didn't lose any job because it was my fault. It was somebody else's fault. Let me tell you. And then when I went out and tried to get a job and I couldn't get one, that wasn't my fault either. It was... Well, there's just no jobs. Or there's just, I mean, they're just idiots. They don't see this guy that is, I mean, I got a lot to offer. They can't see that? What is the matter with them? Blame. 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 And blame some more. I mean, that's what it does to you. That's what it does to you. And I could justify my behavior because I could always find a drunk that was worse than me. Right? When we're in our sin, we can always find a sinner that's worse than me. And because he's like that, then I don't have to be like that. I can just be like I am. How sick is that? How sick is that? James says this, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. And you know what? When you don't get that job, when I got fired, it wasn't the boss's fault. It wasn't the economy's fault. It wasn't anybody. It was my fault. Just like it's your fault. Because you know why? Because I made choices. I made the wrong choices. But because I made the wrong choices, because I wasn't lined up with God, I didn't want to deal with my bad choices, so I blamed everybody else for them. That is life. That is the sin addiction. Just like drug addiction. That's what it is. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. He doesn't. We do it on our own. We can't blame others for our sins. We're responsible. Sometimes my sermons get a little heavy, but that's okay, because God has gotten a little heavy with me. And if you allow him, he'll get a little heavy with you too. And when that happens, you get better. You get better. So, how did I get this way? Right? How did you get the way you are? I just didn't wake up. I just didn't get born and boom, I was an alcoholic and an idiot. Actually, we are born into sin though, aren't we? We're born sinners. It's like the cute little baby. Oh, she's so cute. Give me, feed me now, change me, do this, do that. I mean, they're not even speaking. They're just screaming. They're just selfish. Little baby, isn't that horrible to talk about a little baby like that, being selfish? You know, but they are. And you know what? As they grow, they get more selfish, don't they? Yeah. When they get to be teenagers, they start to reason a little bit, but they're still selfish. When we get to be adults, we think we get a little better, but we're still selfish, aren't we? Yeah, see? So it's not, it's everybody. It's a sin. It's a sin that is taking place. Well, let me share with you. Let me see here. Sin is disobedient. Oh, sorry. Gave away my secret. Actually, I think it's on your notes. Let me share a little bit of my life growing up with my father. When I think about my father, now my aunt's back here, and I've shared a couple things with her over the time, so some of the things she might hear, she's never heard before. I shared one thing with her, and she said, "Really? I didn't know that." I said, "Denial. Denial." Not that she was denying, but we were denying what was going on because he's my father. My father. I didn't have a good relationship with my father. I don't know how it was before I could start remembering. Aunt Judy could probably tell you, but I can't. And I'm sure that when I was little, my father played with me and hugged me and was proud of me like every father is of the new child. Just like I was of my kids. I was proud of them many times because of what they did, not because of who they were. I was proud of them when they did something great because I could go, hey, look at that, that's my kid. See, it wasn't about my kid. It was about me. Because see how good my kid, see what I did? See how that works? See how it works? So my dad, when I think about my father, I think of a man who was hard and angry. Most of the pictures I remember of my father was this angry look on his face. And maybe it was because I made him angry. I don't know. growing up with him wasn't easy. It was hard. It was hard. And I was the oldest, and I had three young brothers, and I had a young sister. And I had a mother who is probably some of you met her. She's the most wonderful person in the world. She would probably step over an ant rather than step on it. My mom is the sweetest lady, and many times I've wondered, how did they get together? How did they get together? Because my mom, like my aunt, they laugh at everything. Everything. I mean, they just laugh. I mean, they just enjoy life. And my dad wasn't like that. He enjoyed it if he was drinking. He enjoyed it if he was chasing some girl. But growing up with him wasn't easy. And I put here, he hit harder than any boy I ever had to fight. So it was easy to fight. I can remember a time when I had to rescue my mother. I don't know if I told Judy this story or not, but I was in the back seat of the car and my dad and mom were up in the front. I have no idea what they were fighting about, arguing about, or anything, because it was not an unusual thing in my house as a child, as a teenager. And my dad, he was a boxer in the Army. He was a middleweight or something on the ship or whatever. I don't know. I remember him telling me that. And he went like this and hit my mom in the eye right here. And her eye cut open. And I jumped across the seat and I laid on my mother. My dad plummeted me. I was 15 years old and had my driving permit. Didn't have my driver's license yet, Leanne. I had my permit. And I took my mom after the doctor came by, and I took my brothers and my sister 100 miles or 150 miles down to my grandparents. And this is how sick we get when we live in a dysfunctional, sick family. I turned around and went back because my dad had a dry cleaning shop, and I didn't think it was right. After all that, I didn't think it was right for him to have to do the dry cleaning shop all by himself. Wow, huh? I can tell you many, many things about my father, but I'm not going to do that because I'm not here to talk about him so much. A little bit, so you get a little flavor of it. I'm really here to talk about Jesus, and we'll get further into that because that is a wonderful thing. One time I had to fight my dad when I was 30 years old. Everybody else was more important to him than me. And that's how it was with him. That was how it was with him. He was so caught up in himself that he didn't have time for us. And he always seemed like everybody else was more important to him because if he gave Aaron the shirt off his back, Aaron would say, "Oh, what a great guy he is." If he helped the little old lady across the street, it wasn't about helping her across the street. It was about people saying, "Oh, what a wonderful guy he is." You see, we're selfish. My dad was selfish. My dad was selfish. Well, sin is passed down. Sin is passed down. I'm going to tell you now. I'm out of the house. I left. I quit school at 17 when I was in a junior in high school, and I enlisted in the Marine Corps to get away from my dad. 17 years old, 18 years old. I was on a boat going to Vietnam. Had my 19th birthday in a firefight, came back, and my addiction continued to grow. And the drinking. I remember one time my mom and dad had sent me a care package in Vietnam, and one time there was a a pint of schnapps in it. Booze, right? It was his addiction, and I picked it up. I learned. Eventually, my dad and I, we got estranged, and eventually I got clean and I got sober. And I remember I had to go through treatment. And when I went through treatment, I don't know if any of you have been in treatment, but it's excruciating, I'll just tell you that, because they make you look at yourself. They make you look at issues in your life that you've been in denial of all your life. I had to look at my father. My mother was there. She came up when I was in treatment. And they started talking to my dad, and I can't even remember what happened, really. It was kind of one of those states of mind where you don't really understand what happened. But the next thing I knew, I had a bat in my hand and a pillow, and I was beating the stuffing out of it. And somehow I had that much anger for my dad. And I'd never expressed it before. I expressed it in fights in bars. I expressed it on my own children. I expressed it on my own wife. I had that much anger. And you know what? What's a sin? Anger? Is anger a sin? It's a sin. I was in sin with my father. And I was taking it out on the people I was supposed to love. Sin is passed down. It's passed down. You know? My father, I tried many times to get him into treatment. I had him in treatment many times. And it was, I don't know, a couple years before he died. I told him, I can't bring the kids around anymore. He wouldn't quit drinking. I had to take my mother out of his house and take her to an attorney and get her a divorce because I feared for her life. Two years, I never spoke to my father. He never seen his grandkids. My father was 59 years old, and he was at the VA hospital in Sioux Falls with another heart problem. And I knew he was there, but he was like, so what? So what? So what? My brother-in-law called me, and he said, David, you probably should come. I said, okay, I'm not coming alone. So I got my friend that helped me get clean and helped me find the Lord. I didn't know the Lord at this time, okay? I'm still a pathetic human being. I went to see my dad, and he's on his deathbed. We didn't say much. He couldn't say much. But you know what? He gave me a hug. First one I can remember. No affection in my family like that. So it's hard to do that with your own kids. It's hard to do that with your own wife. Sin is passed down. We catch sin from the people we know. I'm going to tell you right now, you all have kids. Some of you have kids. Some of you don't have kids. Some of you are going to have kids. I know you don't want to do this to them. I know you don't. I know that my father did not want to do that to me. He didn't want to pass it on to me. But you know what? If you have kids and you're living together and you're not married, you're passing it down. Because, you see, our children, we teach our children. We say to our children, don't do this. Do this. Come to school. Let me teach you this. Let me show you how to do this. But you know when we're really teaching them? Is how we behave. That's when they're really learning. Because there are things that we do that they're watching. If I treat my wife like that, then my daughter's going to think that's okay to be treated like that. My son's going to think it's okay to treat his wife like that. We pass it down. We got to quit doing that. We got to get in line with God. We got to understand what sin is. It's not killing somebody necessarily. It's not necessarily adult. It is everything that we do. Our kids are watching us. It gets passed down. And that's a sin in itself, isn't it? That we pass that on to our children. Oh, yeah, go ahead and drink, man. Come on, drink and fight, because that's what a man does. Oh, okay. Where's the bottle? Where's the ring? Come on, let's go. Yeah, that's what a man does, right? And if you have a mother that's in a submissive home that's getting beaten, that's getting verbally abused, which is a sin as well, you're teaching that daughter it's okay for that guy to do that to you. It is passed down from generation to generation. And if you read your Bible, you will hear God say that. You will hear God say that. We respond to sin by sinning. That's what I did. My dad sinned against me. He did things to me and my mom and my brothers and my sister, and so because I was angry at him, I took it out on other people. See, I was in sin. I was in the sin of anger. I was in the sin of rage. I was in the sin of bitterness. I was in the sin of gossip. I was in all those sins. And I was responding to sin by sinning. That's another way it's passed down. We do that. We sin. We are sinners. And we're burdened with it. I was burdened with it. I couldn't stand it. But I was. And I was in denial and I didn't want to admit it. Sin. The human addiction. Are you following me on that? Are you following that? Sin, the human addiction. We pass it on because we minimize the sin. It doesn't matter. They're doing it on TV. The stars are all doing it. You saw all the stars. Where are they at? You want to be there? I sure don't. I was on my way. I was on my way. Well, let me continue with my story a little bit. I'm going to talk about my wife and her bitterness. No, she probably had a right to be bitter. My wife and my marriage were not easy. My wife and I were married for 25 years, and I tell people on and off, because about five of those years she had kicked me out. Because I misbehaved. I was irresponsible. I told you how many jobs I had. It takes money to raise a family. It takes responsibility. You got to be a man. See, this is what a man is about. Leading the family. I didn't do that. I let her lead me. Because I was irresponsible. And for some reason, women have more of a responsibility. They have this better feel for responsibility, especially when they have kids. We don't. We look at women as objects. That's what I did. What an awful thing. Look at another human being as an object. Horrible thing. My wife, when I got sober, I've got to give you just a little bit more. I'm going to come and get in there, folks. But when I was drinking and using, and I was being an idiot. Everybody saw that. I didn't see it. Everybody would say, oh, Joyce, that was my wife's name. Oh, you poor thing. How do you do that? How do you put up with him? How do you, you know, see, so they were reinforcing her, right? Oh, how you're such a good person. Well, and she was. And then I got sober. And now it switched. It was like, oh, that a boy, Dave. That a boy, Dave. Way to go, Dave. Well, all right, Dave. All right, you're not drinking anymore. That's good, Dave. All right, you're not fighting anymore. That's good, Dave. All right, all right, all right. See, and Joyce wasn't getting any of that. Poor you. You see, we can get addicted to that as well as we can anything else. You see, we play off of each other in this sin. We play off of each other. Well, my wife, and I'm still not a Christian, but I still don't know the Lord. All right? And so finally, one day, I'm not going to go through all the details, but I'd had it. Couldn't deal with it no more. And I walked out. See, that's what society says. If it doesn't work, if it didn't fit, if it's not going the way you want it to do, well, then just leave. That's okay. You see it on TV all the time. Just leave. It ain't well, okay. Well, then I'll leave. I'll have you know, I do regret getting divorced. I do, because when I became a Christian, I found out what a husband is supposed to be. And I wasn't one of them. My wife was so angry at the divorce because, as I mentioned, she had thrown me out many, many times. And I walked. You see, she is a control freak, too. I'm not putting her down. She's a control freak, and she didn't control that situation. And you know what happened when that happened? She got angry. She got bitter. Just like I did with my dad. I got angry, and I got bitter. You see, she responded to sin like I did by sinning. Her bitterness, take a drink. Her bitterness almost drove her boyfriend away. Her bitterness towards me. Her bitterness towards me almost estranged her from her children. And all that time that she was bitter at me, sinning, responding to my sin by sinning, she was hurting herself. You see, and that's what happens when we sin. We're the ones that get hurt because we're separated from God. We're the ones that are in anguish. We're the ones that are struggling, not the people we're sinning against, in bitterness especially. Bitterness is a horrible, horrible thing. So through all this, and I'm almost to my conclusion. I don't know how much time I've spent, but anyhow, the most frightening thing through all this was to look at myself. That's a scary thing, especially when you know you how you are. And you see, and James 1:14 says, "But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed." Right? What that means is, like my father, he was sinning against me with his own desires. But I was sinning against him with mine. I was sinning against my wife with my desires, but she was sinning against her kids with her evil desires. You see how it escalates. You see, an addict doesn't just start with one thing and stop with one thing. We try many things. And that's how it is. That's how it is. So my whole life, I was looking at my father, right? The anger I had towards my father, all the people that did me wrong, I'm looking at them. And that was my problem. I wasn't looking at him. So, in my sin, this is the way I was. Oh yeah, God, it's too bad. This is the way I was. This is how everybody saw me. This is the way I saw myself. You see, we have two pictures of ourselves. And God makes us see us for who we are. Right? He makes us see us for who we are. Sin does have a solution. It is it has a solution. And that solution is forgiveness. In a nutshell. You need to get some. Each and every single one of us need to get some forgiveness. Right? And look at here. It comes from God. Comes from Jesus. John, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Now listen, I want to take a minute here. No one did this for me. You know, when I needed it, but now I don't know how many of you in here know Jesus. I don't know how many of you in here have a personal relationship with him like I do. I don't know that. But what I'd like you all to do, if you would, is bow your heads for a minute, close your eyes. Because I want to give you an opportunity here today to meet Jesus so you can get some, okay? So if you just close your eyes, bow your head, And I'm going to say a prayer, and if you just do it with me in your mind, you can have an opportunity to meet our Lord and Savior today. Our Father God, we come before you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we lift you up, Lord. And Lord Jesus, right now, today, Lord, I just ask that you come and meet that person that needs to be met, Lord. That, Lord, we believe that you are the living Son of God, that you came down to earth in the human flesh, Lord, to die for my sins. In your mind, say my sins, because he died for each and every one of us. Lord, that you were buried for 3 days, Lord, and according to your promise, you arose alive on the third day, Lord. And Lord, right now, Lord, I want you to come into my heart, Lord. I want you to be the ruler of my life, Lord. I want you to come to me and take these sins away from me, Lord. That's why you hung on the cross, Lord. I ask, Lord, right now, Lord, I ask that you take my sins away. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'd like to keep your eyes closed and your heads down for a minute. And I'm curious, if you said that prayer, if you said that prayer with me, if you could just raise your hand. No one's looking, no one's going to know, okay? All right, good, thank you. And I want you to know, those that did that, that accepted the Lord today, when this is over with, I know we're going to have a wedding reception down there, and Mike and Eva know that, and it's important for them, but this is more important for you. I want you to either come and talk to me or talk to Pastor Bob so that you can understand what that means to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can open your eyes. I'm not quite done yet. Got just a couple more things to do here. it has a solution. Sin does have a solution. And I want you to look at this. If you said that prayer with me, all right, just like me, when I first accepted the Lord, He made me see myself for who I was. And this is the way I want to be. Now, I'm still not here yet, all right? And even though we've accepted the Lord, we sometimes still have a gap. You know, sometimes it's like this, sometimes we still have a gap between who we are and who we need to be. So even though you did that, because you see, we just talked about you need to get some forgiveness from God, right? And we just prayed, and I hope that you got that. But we also need to give some. We need to give some. All right? I'm almost through here. Matthew 6:15 says, "But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." I'm going to jump back to my mom, my dad, and my ex-wife. I told you how my father was. And my father died. He's dead. He'd been dead a long time. When I finally came to Jesus and Jesus made me take a look, gotta go back here, how I am. When I realized how I am, it gave, and I understood the forgiveness that He gives me because I am like that, I was able to forgive my father. Amen. And he was dead. Amen. And I could still forgive him. And you know what? I had to forgive him. If I did not forgive my father, I could not move forward with Jesus Christ. Because I am hanging on to something. I wrote my little wife a letter. Now, it took me about 300 years to get it put together. But I had the Holy Spirit in me all those times, all those years. And God is telling me, "Dave, you write your life. You got to make amends to your wife. Dave, you got to make..." "No! I ain't doing that. I'm not going to do that because I'm not sure how she'd respond. And no, God, I don't trust you. I ain't doing that. Nope." You see, I would go back and forth. Eventually, God, and He always does, won. And I wrote the letter. I was at a Celebrate Recovery meeting, and I'd been battling with this letter for years. And I was teaching a class on making amends. And I said to the group, "You know what? I have to write a letter to my wife. God's been bugging me for years. And I said, I ask you to keep me accountable for that." Well, that week, it was on my mind the whole time. I mean, it was just killing me. And I come back to Celebrate Recovery the next week to teach the next lesson. "Yeah? Dave, did you write the letter?" "No, I didn't. But I did that night. And I'll tell you what I said. I said, 'Joyce, I was not a good husband. I was not a good father. You were a good mother, and you tried to be a good wife. Forgive me, David.'" That was it. You see, when you have to give some, you can't say, "Joyce, I was a bad husband, but if you'd have been a better wife, I'd have been a better husband." That's not giving forgiveness. That's blaming. That's making excuses again. That's what that is. So, you have to ask yourself today, where are you at? Where are you at in this picture? I mean, you know, we're all this way in God's eyes. The only way that God can look at us like this is with the covering of Jesus. But we're trying to get here. We don't like this. I didn't like that of me. And I was always pretending I was like this. So where are you at today? Where are you at in that gap? Do you have someone you need to forgive? Is there someone that you need to make amends to? Is there someone that you've harmed? Is there someone that's harmed you that you need some forgiveness? that you need to come up here to the altar and say, Lord, help me forgive them. Now, you may not have been hurt like me, like my father. You may have been molested. You may have someone that, I had a guy one time try to mug me with a knife. I had a guy try to rob me with a gun. I mean, there could be a lot of different things. There could be a lot of different people that you're holding, you know, that is keeping you. I mean, listen, folks. It's keeping you from being lined up with God. It's keeping you from having what Dave and Mike have. It's keeping you from that joy. So right now, I want to ask Pastor Bob to come up, Pastor Paul. And if someone needs some prayer, and you know, because sometimes I didn't just forgive my father. I took someone to help me pray about that. I didn't just make amends to my wife. I had to have some help with that. And what I'm saying today is if you need some help with that, if you want what Ava and Mike have, please come on up. Come on up and pray. And Miss Ann's just going to play a little music. And I'm going to pray here for a minute. And when I get through praying, you want to come up and be prayed on and have God come into your heart and help you to get rid of the bitterness, get rid of the anger, get rid of those things. Please do. Let me pray for us right now. Oh, our Father God, I come before you, Lord, and I thank you so much, Lord, for your Son Jesus, because, Lord, Jesus allows me to see me, Lord. Jesus allows me to forgive my father. Jesus allows me to make amends, Lord. Jesus is my strength. He is my hope. He is my guarantee. He is my assurance, Lord. And Lord, I pray right now that you're touching someone's heart in here today, Lord, that they need to come up here and do that, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be right there nudging them and pushing them up here, Lord, and telling them, and don't let them wait like I did all those years, Lord, to wait and waste all that wonderful, joyous time that I've had with you because I was able to do that, Lord. Don't let them do that. Don't let them waste the wonderful time that it is with you. In your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, hey, Sandra.
I've still been drinking. I want to stop drinking.
Okay.
I feel like I need to stop.
Okay, good girl.
I feel like I'm drinking more sometimes, being alone.